Please open this to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for our focal passage of our text this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 3 to 8. Just to refocus our attention and our mind on this passage, let me read to you once again this passage according to Paul. Text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. Focusing on this passage, the passage says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. That every of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Now, before I go on and proceed, I'd like to give a little bit background of this passage. Now, believers there in Thessalonica lived in a very sensual and perverted pagan world. Reading from the Bible Knowledge Commentary by Walvoord Zak, he said, "The Thessalonians lived in a pagan environment in which sexual lewdness was not only practiced openly, but was also encouraged. In Greek religion, way back, prostitution was considered a priestly right. Prostitution is considered a priestly privilege or entitlement. And so, an extramarital sex was sometimes an act of worship way back then in pagan world. Now, this kind of practice was seen not only in religious aspect, but also in social environment as well. Now, looking back, how would the Thessalonian believers lived in a world yet not of the world, or not living according to the trend at that time? The same question I would like to ask to all of us also this morning, considering our situations, considering the world right now. How would you live in this world that freedom of sensuality are expressed almost everywhere? Even at the middle of the street, even in the corner of the street, sensuality are being expressed. Now, according to our text this morning, Apostle Paul laid down three guidelines on how we live pure in a polluted world. Just three guidelines on how we live pure in a polluted world. Now, these three guidelines are worthy to be observed as we live for the Lord. Are you serious in living for the world? Are you serious in living for God? Which one do you choose? As Christians, we must decide. We must choose to live for Christ. And so, in doing so, these are the guidelines on how to live accordingly, living pure in a polluted world. Number one is that, according to your bulletin there, we should follow the will of God in sanctification, simply holiness. We should follow the will of God in holiness. To, as believers in the Lord, true genuine believers in the Lord, we should abstain from sexual immorality. This is just one aspect to become holy before God. Abstain from sexual immorality. Number three is that, as believers, we should submit to enablement of the Holy Spirit. For we cannot do it because we are weak, but God is strong. We can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let us consider the first one. As Christians, if we want to live pure in a polluted world, we should follow the will of God in sanctification. Because the verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your," what? "Your sanctification, even your holiness." Now, this verse reminds me of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service, and not be," what? "Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know or prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is best will of God for you." The Bible clearly shows that that God has will, has plan for all the believers. When we talk about the will of God, it has two categories at least. Number one is that sovereign will of God. It refers to sovereign plan of God that will happen in the future. Whether we like it or not, the plan of God will come to fulfill. Even without my participation, it will happen because it is the sovereign will of God. Example of this is the birth, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the sovereign will or plan of God for all the world. Number two is that there is called God's will of command. God's will of command for every believer. And that is 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 8 belongs. This involved the divine human cooperation. Take note, this involved divine and human cooperation to fulfill the will of God in one's life. It takes God and you and me to fulfill the will of God and plan of God. And so a believer should cooperate in the will and plan of God. Otherwise, what's God called acceptable? What God's call best, good, perfect will not attain. We need to cooperate with God. Divine cooperation. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. in order to attain this kind of holiness, in order to attain this kind, to fulfill this kind of sanctification, we must cooperate with God so that we could know or experience the best from God. Now, the Bible is very clear that God's will and plan for every believer is to, according to our text here in verse 3, that is the will of God. For this is the will of God, to be sanctified. And that is simply to be holy, to be blameless, to be pure, to be perfect. Now, not that we don't sin anymore, not that we become sinless, but we become sinless. That every day in our lives, we sin less and less and less and less. As long as we are here in the world, we are still under the influence of sin. We are still under the power of sin. We are not perfect. If we are perfect, if we don't sin anymore, then we are not human anymore. We are God. But this is the plan of God for all the believers. God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That is what verse 7 says. This is the ultimate goal for our lives, brothers and sisters in the Lord, is to become like Christ and give honor and praises to our God. This is what Ephesians 5, 26 to 27, if we open our Bible, what is the purpose of God in our lives, or in general in the church? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 to 27, it says, this refers to the church, and that is the people of God gathering together. That he might, in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, present it to himself a glorious people, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. But how could we attain this? How could we attain this? To be holy. To experience sin less every day in our lives. We are still under this fleshly body. That is why the text becomes specific and personal at this time. We should ask help from God. But before that, let us proceed in number 2. How do we attain or obtain sanctification? There is only one specific here that God wants us to do. It just in this text. I know there's a lot of things God wants us to do in order to be holy. But just in this text, he said in verse 3, abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain from sexual immorality. It says there in verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. How do we sanctify ourselves? Here it gets specific. Number 1 is that we should abstain from sexual immorality. This is the trend right now. Sexual immorality. not that often, but I know around the world, sexual immorality is rampant. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against soul." Now, in discussing this, I must be careful to be judgmental to other people. I don't know your life exactly, because after the service, we go our own way home, we depart, I don't know what's going on in your life. And the next Sunday, we come again, and the same will happen. We go out and go our own. Now, I don't mean to be suspicious, but as a matter of fact, that is not my business to follow the next tillistery of one's life. Because ultimately, each one of us is accountable to a holy and righteous God. But I cannot keep quiet, because the Bible instructed us of these things. I am compelled to preach. I am compelled to rebuke. I am compelled to correct, to remind myself. And all of us, every one of us, that sexual immorality is not funny at all. Not funny at all. That is why God is appealing to all of us, beloved children, we should abstain from sexual immorality. The Bible says, abstain from fleshly lust. And also the Bible says, abstain from sexual immorality. Well, the first one commands us not to feed ourselves of fleshly lust, not to commence or to feed ourselves with sexual or sensual materials that fans, that fuels, or that fires to commit immoral act. That is not our business as believers of the Lord. When I was listening to one of the programs of 99.5 WDCX, by the way, I would like to advertise this, you know. I used to travel in my work at least 45 to 1 hour going to work. And from work until I get my work, I listen to the messages of these stations. WDCX 10.5, Joy 12.5. I gain a lot of knowledge. And through that, I grow. Plus, we have CDs here. Sometimes when I was here, I copy the CDs of the preaching. And while my travel going to my work, I listen to them. And so one time, when I was listening to one of the programs, the discussion was about this. They said that this generation is bombarded with paramount sexual materials and colossal sexual temptations that never happened before. When you enter into information highway, then that is called internet, you can find billions of pornographic pictures and films, and millions are being uploaded every day around the world. If they will just put this into hard copies, they said, they will fill up cathedrals and churches with such explicit materials. There are so many there. This reminds me of myself also, that I will be careful in opening the internet. Sometimes when I open my email, there's a window that popped out always in my email window that says single and available, or 1 kilometer away. It's all there. For the parents, also, if you don't have fun using the computer at home, then please at least monitor their the computer use and internet activity with discretion of your young ones. We have to protect our young ones. And young ones, we have to protect our parents from this seductive tool of Satan to destroy the family. Let me remind ourselves with this truth that says, sin always takes you farther than you want to go. You may think, until just here, I'll stop of doing like this kind of activity. No. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go. Sin keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than what you are willing to pay. That is right. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, costs you more than what you are willing to pay. Dr. James Dobson interviewed Ted Bundy, and who heard the name Ted Bundy? He was able to interview Ted Bundy hours before his electrocution. Ted Bundy was exposed to sexually graphic materials at a very young age, maybe 7, 8. He became a serial killer. So plus the exposure of sexual explicit materials, and then family problem, personal issues. And you know what? According to the record, he confessed it. He raped and murdered 30 young women. He died in prison by electric chair. That's the power of uncontrolled fleshly lust. That is the power of uncontrolled. I don't mean that this is too far maybe than we think to happen in our family. But mind you, you cannot play Satan. You cannot play Satan. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of this. David committed a series of sin. When did it start? While he was there at the balcony, seeing somebody or someone taking a bath. He was feeding himself with lust. And so, at the end, he did it. So he was consumed with regret, with shame. After he committed this crime. Well, family is affected, spouses are affected, children are affected, and people around are affected. Don't think that you are the one, the only one who is affected by this kind of activity. Around the people is affected. Churches are affected. Testimony is affected. For a pastor, maybe that's the end of his ministry. That is why we cannot play Satan. We cannot play Satan. Indeed, the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified in verse 6. Because sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality are never bittersweet. It's always, always bitter and painful. Always bitter and painful, brethren in the Lord. Now, if we are truly the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We should walk in the newness of heart and mind and think that our body is not for this, but our bodies is for what the Bible said, for sanctification and honor. That's in verse 4. Not in playing Satan, but in sanctification, that in holiness and honor of the Lord. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That every one of us know how to handle our body. For sanctification and honor for the Lord. Our body is not for uncleanness, but unto holiness. The question for me is this, and for you too. How is your conduct to opposite sex? Is it pure and without malice? Is it true without nastiness? I don't know. The Word of God says in Matthew 5:27-28, that says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time." And what is that? "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Verse 27, 28 says also, "But say unto you now, that whoever looketh on a woman to lust after her," what? "Hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Just in thinking that this person is an object of sex, the Bible said, you committed adultery. And so it goes, the song goes to say, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love in us." Yes, brethren in the Lord, the Bible says, it is very clear on its instruction that we have to handle and behave ourselves in a way that pleases and gives glory and honor to the Lord. Again, the question is this, but how do we do this? How do we do this to become holy and righteous and sanctified before God? How do we become sinless? Number one is that we should abstain from sexual immorality. Just in the text, there are so many more. How do we do this also? How do we abstain from sexual immorality? Verse 8. We should submit to enablement of the Holy Spirit. Because it says, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us His Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, if you open your Bible, it says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit. So that what? So that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Submit to the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Also in Romans chapter 6, if we open our Bible, in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14, it gives us the power also, it gives us the enablement to abstain from this kind of activity. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of uncleanness unto sin. My hands, my eyes, is not supposed to be the instrument of making sin. Specifically, according to the text, sin that destroy your brothers. Sin that destroy the lives of the family. Sin that destroys the life of others. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Brethren, the Lord, the Holy Spirit makes a believer humble enough not to depend himself, but rather to depend on the enabling grace of God. Because deep inside in us, there's still a small spiritual voice that prompts you to decide and do what is right and perfect will of God. If you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit indwelt in you. At the moment you encounter that situation, especially when you ponder upon the Word of God, especially when you heed the Word of God into your heart, there is still small voice that when you see that object or that graphic materials, the small voice says, no. When you are tempted of the things around you, close your both eyes, not just one, both of the eyes. Say a prayer in the Spirit. I will do what is right. I will do what is right. I will give honor and glory to God. Like Joseph, he made the right decision and choice, and he said no. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness? And sin against God. No, I can't. Close your eyes. When you're tempted around, say a prayer in the Spirit. I will not do this thing. I will give glory and honor today. That's what the servants of God said. Joseph. Now, I know it takes a definite, decisive decision to submit to the enablement of the Holy Spirit. But you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it pays off. It pays off. Yes, because it prevents you from pain. It prevents you from trouble in life. It empowers you to live pure in a polluted and dark world. Now, I don't know, when you go out from this sanctuary, I don't know what will you encounter outside. It depends on your daily activity. But the question for all of us is this. Will you follow the will of God in sanctification in your life? Will you follow the will of God in holiness in your life? You will make a promise right now. Yes, I would abstain from sexual immorality. You may be saying to God right now, yes, I will submit to enablement of the Holy Spirit. But the big question for you is this. You must decide. Will you submit to God? Let us pray. In our prayer at this moment, may this be the swan song of your life, to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have life that God given to us. Use it for the righteousness of God. Use it for the holiness. Use it, brethren, for your sanctification, that give glory and honor unto God. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.